this incident, there was nothing compared to the things I did before. So I didn't mind. Very soon, I don't know when was that, how long, but not even a year, I guess. My uncle Marco said, his daughter Otilia, you know, that was my mom's cousin. They want you to go to Arizona. I said, well, okay, I work in the fields too. So her husband, Guillermo Garcia, was the foreman of the crew, one crew of braceros. He would go, he would instruct them how to work in the field, and there we work in the lettuce, the harvest, you know, and also the cantaloupe, and the guy that the rancher had many blocks of land, and these blocks were about a mile or 2 miles square. At least 1 or 2 miles square of land. Yeah. And the rancher, he owns all that because his bosses were Japanese people. And they couldn't sign any papers. Okay. They couldn't sign any papers when they bought the property, and he was the only one able to sign. So he signed his name when every time they bought a piece of property. So when the Japanese were
they were sent off to the camps.
Yeah, they were sent to the camps. So he became the sole owner of those properties in Tolleson. I don't know how many, 3 or 4 blocks, but separate from we call it block because it's about 3 or 4 miles each square in Tolleson. And at least, and by the airport, they near Phoenix, and he had another piece of land, Payson. He had another piece of land with cattle. So naturally, he needed people. He needed a lot of people. A lot of braceros were involved in there. Yeah. And right at the in Tolleson, that's where my uncle Guillermo and his wife, they were the you know the bosses there, yeah. The foreman.
Oh, okay.
And see, the general foreman would live in the same area because he would go from those places, make sure that everybody was accounted for at the field. Mm-hmm. But that's all he did. But then in each place, he would have somebody in turn that would control the rest of the people. Yeah. And he had a barrack with a 12 or 15, I think 12, 15 braceros in there living. One bracero would stay a week to clean up the place and make the food. All the rest of them go in the field. So the following week, another bracero would take his turn, and the other one would go, but they get paid. They get paid. Their wages were favorable. I mean, we didn't get any more than they did, mm-hmm. or they didn't get any less than we did or anything, but they get the boss, the rancher would pay the food bill, half. All the 12, all the 15, whatever, they buy so many dollars of food. Well, they only pay half of that price, mm-hmm. and the rancher would pay the other half.
Okay.
So it was good. A good, clean place to live. Nice, barrack, there were houses of illegal people. They were also workers of that rancher, mm-hmm. that some drive the tractor, some drive the trucker, some just plain, like, you know, the pick and shovel or whatever. But they were living there. They live in the same community. They were very good places to live. The same thing we had in Tuggers Ranch. Same thing. Nice, clean homes. If you keep them clean, well, they stay clean. If they don't, well, they don't. It's like anything else. So naturally, I met all these people. Like, we worked together with them. And sometimes one guy said, well, I already finished my contract, because they came in contract with the bracero, came in with 6 months, a year, or I don't know, the rest of them. But they bring another guy to replace the one leaving. Okay. So the ones that were in there, they knew how to harvest their land, how to work on the land. So the new ones, they followed through again, yeah. Right away. I knew a guy that he was a devil. Well, he was a good guy, but legal, I say a devil because he get himself a wife from Phoenix to live with him. But every so often, he saved all his money, and then he would go to Phoenix and spend all that money in bars. He would go Friday night, and he won't come back until Monday morning. And then he would write his mom. Say, Mom, I have no more money. I had a rough week this time, and I need some money. Yeah. I said, how much you want, mijo? Oh, 300-400 pesos, dollars, you know. Okay. She would send him money. So he can survive. This guy would buy clothing, the most expensive one, that the same thing that Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, all those cowboys were wearing, yeah, in the movies,
yeah,
he would buy them.
It's a lot of money.
When he left, he had 3 trunks full of clothing, hats and everything, beautiful,
yeah,
very beautiful clothing that he bought. But he said, I'm here just for the fun. I'm here to see how many gringas can I go to bed with. But that's his living. So why do I care? You know. But all the rest of them, they were, oh, compadre, you know, my wife already bought me a set of mules or a cow or something, a piece of land, and when I finish my contract, I have something to work on. Yeah. A lot of people were very smart because they came, took the money, and then somebody will come over and make, you know. So this is why the bracero was very good. To me, even though I didn't make any difference to me, because I was working with them, I learned how to work with them the way they did, and believe me, during the letters is the worst part, because when they see the letter fields, they in a row, well, you have to have only one or two the most. But how you do it? Have you ever worked in it?
No.
They have a little hole about this wide, mm-hmm, and you go see.
Okay.
Like this.
Okay. Yeah, a little short handle.
With
okay.
A short handle.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it. And then the rest of it, you get leaving one or two, let's say a mile long rows,
yeah,
going that way.
Amazing. The rows were there. Because their fields are big. They're very big.
That's right. Because those fields were long. You remember, yeah, the block?
Yeah.
The guy two or three... Yeah. Miles of property.
Each section of a mile inside.
Right.
Wow.
So you walk like that, and yet, all these braceros, very good for that. And then in order for me to make myself valuable for them, so they didn't think that that because I was the nephew of the foreman, I would, you know, they favor me. No, I had to be working just as good as they were or better. So I had to work. Of course, at that time I was young. I still was young, of course, 20 in the early 20s. So, of course, yeah, by this time I was already registered to the local board. You know, the local board, you know, when the draft board.
The draft.
Yeah. But they call the local board and you had to register at 19. But I was over 19 when I registered, when I came back. So I was still within limit, otherwise they would punish you at that time. I understand they give you, you know, harass you if they give you a good reason for not to register.
Okay.
So I was registered already. Mm-hmm. So also the rancher, well, she would hire people from the community, like people from Tolleson, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody, I need so many people. He already had so many braceros working for him, but he still work, get some more people from the community to work. Two women I just knew him by name, Bartolas, I guess, one young girl, Bartola was named Bartola because were born the same day, but at different years, but they were sisters. The Bartolas, they call them Bartolas. They were so good for that.
Yeah.
They work and they beat any bracero to work. They pay you for the row.
Oh, you got paid by the row.
That's right. They pay you by the row. I mean, they don't pay you by the hour.
What would they pay you for by row?
I don't remember, but it was, all I know it was very good money, because these girls, they got paid good wages doing that, and they weren't married. They were single mothers, but they were married, and they were supporting their father, and they by themselves built a house, a four bedroom house that I know of. Block, cement block. Mm-hmm. They didn't hire anybody. They did it by themselves. Yeah. So we work there along with the braceros for that. I only spent two summers in Arizona. On the cantaloupe, when the cantaloupe harvest, we work from 4 o'clock in the morning until 11. Because the sun, the heat is so
cool. Oh, it's too hot.
It's too hot.
Okay.
Too hot.
And but you worked in the dark. Yeah.
Well, in the morning, yeah. By 4, it's already late, early anyway.
Yeah.
And you're already picking up every day for, I think, 5 weeks we work. Yeah. And we had the truck pulling the conveyor. And we do just put the cantaloupe into the conveyor. The conveyor will bring that fruit onto the truck. One guy would be there with a chute, you know, a canvas chute, so they won't get damaged.
Okay.
See, and then making sure that the fruit don't get damaged, or because, you know, when it's damaged, by the time you get shipped to another state or other country, the fruit is not good.
Yeah.
So they had to be careful. And the rancher had 10 army trucks. 10 army trucks and trailers. They fill them up with that. And which in turn, when the real owner, the Japanese bought them, the ranch had to sign for him.
For the equipment, or
they had to sign for the piece of property, the ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So the you know, Mr. Anderson, yeah, had to sign because the Japanese couldn't sign for it.
So he actually owned the property.
He actually owned it without costing him anything, but he was the owner, and he only had a wife and a son. That's all. Mm-hmm. So his son had all the money in the world. See? So finally. At the end of the 5 weeks of working on the cantaloupe, They said, well, he said, that's the end of it. We complete our contract with the markets. There's no more. But this time, it was so hot that, you know, it gets, we had 2 weeks of high hot heat, hot days at 120. 120 day and night. So you can imagine how hard it is to work under those circumstances. So hot. Well, anyway, at my last year in Arizona, I was team up with another guy from Corona. He said he was from Corona. He was born in Corona, but just like me, raised in Mexico. So his name was Didio Garcia. But he said we team up pretty good. Roommates in the my uncle gave us a little house. So we both lived together there, and we spent our money, shared money together, and we made very good money. Yeah. Very good money on those 5 days, 5 weeks alone, over $1,000, over wow. Easy, over $1,000 on 5 weeks.
Wow, this is like the late 1940s.
Okay. 46, 47, something.
It's quite a bit 40, of money for 5 weeks work back then, I would imagine.
Then, in the following year, the boss, the rancher, had some cattle in Payson. So he said, I need four people to work up in the High Sierras. He said, what is it? Well, we're going to build some fence. We build some tanks. You know, when it snows, the snow stays there and melts, and it becomes a water place for the cattle.
Yeah.
But we need the fence, so cattle when the cattle gets thirsty, they look for water, and then go in there, and we put a automatic gate. The cattle can go in, but they can get up, see? So the ranger, so the foreman in that section, go to every tank and get the cattle before the snow starts to keep them from dying up in lost, mm-hmm. up in the Sierra, see? So the, you know, when it snows in Arizona, yeah. You know. So that was the thing we did, fence and put gates on those tanks. See? So we worked there about 6 months, maybe, while it was, you know, off the after the cold. Cold temperatures,
okay.
Yeah, no rain or anything, but nice freeze. Weather, but still frozen, still freezing. Hey there, one thing I had to learn, because I didn't mention this, my tia Otilia, my aunt Otilia, the wife to Willie, Guillermo Garcia, well, he was the second husband to this woman. My uncle Mark's daughter. He had two sons. Yes, you want something to drink? Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. She had two sons with the first marriage, and three kids from the second marriage from Guillermo. Well, Cruz was the youngest of that two. Because the oldest was still in the army. Yeah. Cruz, myself, Del Garcia, and that brother-in-law of Jose Ramirez from Mexico, we wound up in that place and patient, making friends. We had to learn how to cook. Cooking. It wasn't for a man. Only women supposed to cook, not men. But there, that's only guys were. We either we learn what we don't need. We had to learn how to make tortillas. We had to learn how to, you know, remember how to make a roast, and then cook some, you know, the best we could. The rancher, the foreman, taught us how to make biscuits, but Mexican don't eat biscuits. Just gave me enough tortillas and beans. That's all you care, you know. But we made it pretty good. We made it real good. There I had to learn. I learned how to drive. And the High Sierra, a road that is only about 7 feet wide, only one road, you know.
It's like a one car road,
yeah. One side of a big hill and the bottom of the other side, well, there's no end to it. And I learned how to drive, and it was pretty good. Raymond, my José Ramirez's brother-in-law, was told to continue doing what I was doing, bringing firewood, because the winter comes, the foreman has to have plenty of firewood for the winter. Okay. So I was doing that all this time that we just before we went back to the city, but, you know, I was collecting firewood, and I had to cruise. Couldn't come back again. He was an American citizen. He didn't want to work anymore. That's it. He said, I'm not going to work. I get my rights. But the other three guys left. I said, well, we're stuck here, so we'll do the best we can. So then I continued doing that firewood collecting. And then the rancher said, well, listen. I said, since I don't have crews anymore, can you? He said, are you? You know how to ride a horse? I said, well, I know some. Because I want you to go with me, collect some of the cattle already, and I want Raymond to go and finish what you're doing. Just one or two more truckloads of firewood I take you back into the city. I said, okay, sounds like a good idea. But first, he said, get on that horse. Yeah, I went over to, I got on top of that horse, and he said, get me that bull over there. I went over and I got him back. You know, they are tricky to do it, but you have to know how to do it. And they drew a good thing, you do it. So now we get ready to go and get some of the cattle. So Raymond was supposed to go and pick up some firewood if we had left two or more truckloads of wood. Before we left, he comes back with his water canteen, you know, on his shoulder and whistling. Hey, Raymond, what happened? Where's the truck? I don't know the dump truck. As I went up, well, real good. Coming down, I didn't remove my foot off the gas pedal and went like crazy and turned over about 150 feet of lead, and miracle, he didn't get killed. He just walked away with a little scratch on his nose, that's all. So that was the end of the everything else as well. He said, okay, then already messed up, so I said, don't worry. So because the truck is supposed to take you back into the city, back to the Phoenix, is coming over already and be here any minute. So it's okay, don't worry about it. So instead of taking cattle, like he was supposed to take some cattle, he took the truck, wrecked truck, and us to back to the city. Little after that, I told Didio de Garcia, you know, my roommates that listen, I'm going to California. What are you going to come back? I was born in California, I'm going back. But this time Lupe was already living in Los Angeles. I only had this address, 29 something LaSalle Avenue, which is somewhere near between Jefferson and Adams. about two blocks east of Western, La Salle Avenue. So I'm leaving, so he got mad at me because, you know, he didn't want to be by himself. He said, in fact, we were pretty good friends, but I said, well, every time I want to do something, I say buy clothing or buy a car, which we could buy a car because at one time we got a big check, you know, a lot of money. He said, sounds like a good idea. He said, let's go. And by the time we got to Phoenix and get ready to buy a piece of equipment or a car or something, he said, hey, wait a minute. What is it? So if we die, who's going to take care of the car? Who's going to take care of the clothing? You're right. Well, let's go to the bar. So that's why I said, I'm not going to be able to do anything for myself with this guy. So the only thing to do is just get away from him. So I came, I had some money saved up, and of course, the safest bank would be my shoe. They saved my money right there. Yeah. And I got to Los Angeles, and when I went to dig for my money, it's gone. The other guy there, I was coming with another guy, he took it. So then I had no choice but to go and look for my brother. And it caused me a lot of hard time. Every Mexican that I met in the city of Los Angeles, in the street right on Broadway and Main Street, nobody knew what I was talking about. He couldn't understand me. He said, I don't understand. I don't know Spanish. I don't know Spanish. I don't understand Spanish. Oh, God. So finally, I somehow got to my brothers, and he wasn't there. His wife was. So he said, well, I'll come back later. When I came back, he said, well, after we chit-chat for a little while, then what are you going to do now? I said, well, I want you to pay me the money I loan you so I can get my ticket to go to Larry or Texas Ranch, you know, because people know me there and I can work. He said, no, I'm not going to get you. You're going to stay here. What am I going to do here in the city of Los Angeles? Well, I don't know, but we'll manage something. He said, listen, I don't know English. I don't know how to handle myself in the city. There's no, where you go, what can you do in the city if you don't know how to do anything? He said, well, don't worry. I said, okay, so I began to worry. His wife told me, said, listen, there's a place that you can go to in Anaheim, Santa or Anaheim. I'm gonna get you a ticket so you can go and go to pick chili with the Japanese people in Santa Ana. I said, well, okay. So somehow I don't remember how in the world happened that I got information needed and everything. And pretty soon I was traveling every day from Los Angeles to Santa Ana in the red car. Every morning, by 5 o'clock, I'll be always on my way. I start at 7 o'clock, and I'll be home about 10 o'clock every day. Well, a lot of braceros were in there working, picking chilies. When the chili harvest ended, there's one guy said, it was still early, said, hey, anybody wants to go to Riverside? Where's that? He said, well, I'll give it a ride, Jeff. For $1, I take you over there and bring you back and pick oranges. Okay. So, well, I said, okay, because I have no place to go to or anything, you know. The only place to go to is my brother's house, and I don't want to be too much of a bother. I said, okay. Well, sure, I wound up in somewhere here in Riverside, picking oranges. Oh my God, it was better place than the ones before and the ones I was before in. A lot of oranges to eat. I ate myself, you know, my stomach full of oranges, and I pick one and I eat two. And by the time I fill up one of the bags, you know, I probably made about $1 the whole day. But I ate a lot of oranges. So I got my dollar. The guy said, well, that's all you earned today. Said, well, okay. So I got $1 and gave it to the guy for my transfer back to the to Anaheim, and from there I took my trip to Los Angeles. That was a long day, you know, because I didn't make any money then.
Yeah,
yeah. But I worked in a lot of Brazil, good for oranges. But my last try to get the my one orange that was looking so good, I climbed a little bit too far. I wound up on the other side of the tree. I was the ladder, you know, fell, and then I said, "Oh my gosh!" He said, "Well, anyway, it's time to go anyway." Yeah. So that's the only thing that I can tell you about the braceros, because I work in them, also in Arizona. Mm-hmm. But as far as I know, they were pretty well taken care of, given enough work and a place to live. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I didn't like the idea that a lot of people say, well, we didn't get a good restroom, good service. And I said, well, they had the restroom, they were just a small things on the end of the field. Mm-hmm. The house weren't that bad. Because the way I was used to in Mexico, a lot of times when we went to the high Sierras, when it was raining, and I mean raining, within 5 minutes, we have our shelter made, and we sleep comfortable all night. The water may be going under, but we'd be sleeping very comfortable with the equipment we take from the burros or the mules that we had, you know, the equipment we had. Our food would never fail, never spoil, because tortillas and beans, what can go bad? Yeah. Make sure that they don't get wet, and that's all. Yeah. And while you're doing the work and cutting your trees, you also cook your beans. So what's the big deal? So this is why I didn't think it was bad treatment for the bracero, for that matter, because I had a lot better here than I had it in Mexico, especially in the high Sierras.
Okay. Do you remember when you're talking to any of the braceros or any of them that you got to know, were these men, were they from cities or were they from the country in Mexico?
The ones that I knew were like my, well, the ones in Arizona, they were from a small ranch, than small communities. Mm-hmm. Because they were inclined to buy a lot, a piece of land, a cow or two, or a team of mules, and where else, except, you know, people that live into the small communities, so to do their work. So this is why I don't know where else this guy would live in. You know, at that time, they would hire people for the farming. So this is why I figured that they were from farming communities.
Right.
Because you hire anybody from the city to work in the field, forget it. We had too many people like that here in the United States that they're not so dumb. Yeah. Yeah. So naturally, all these things that I learned in Mexico, there was nothing here. I worked in irrigation in New Mexico for a month, day and night. It didn't bother me. I when pretty soon, you know, when I when I work, my brother Lupe, then he placed me into a, no, after the Chile incident, I found a job at, I went to look for a dishwasher job in Los Angeles, at the, what is it, Fillmore Hotel, downtown? I think it's Fillmore. The Fillmore Hotel right in downtown. And I went to look for a job right in Pershing Square. And the guy I asked to, he said, what do you want? So I'd like to get a job as a dishwasher. I said, well, are you trained? No, I'm not. Of course, it was in Spanish. He said, are you a union member? No, I am not. Because, you know, he said, then I cannot give you a job because you are not a union member. Well, then I'd like to become a union member so I can get a job. I said, well, see Mr. Rodriguez over there? The guy over there, yeah. Well, that guy is the guy that takes care of the union guys. Go ask him. So I went over to Mr. Rodriguez. Oh, I don't know, I remember his name now, but anyway. And he said, Mr. Rodriguez, says, I understand you're the guy that union take care of the union personnel. Yes. I said, well, I would like to become a member so I can get a job here with the other guy there. As a dishwasher. They said, well, do you have a job? No, I don't. They said, how can you become a member if you don't have a job? But he said that if you make me a membership, you know, if I become a member, then he gave me a job. Yeah, but you don't have a job yet.
If you say you can't become a member, yeah.
So then I said, well, I went back to the other guy first, and then said, listen, he said that if you give me a job, then he can make me a member of the union. Yeah, but you're not a member yet. No, I'm not. Said, well, see, you're not a member. How can I give a job? I said, you bunch of, I cuss him so bad at all my words. That because we learned on the open country, the high Sierra, you learn a lot of good words for your burros, for your mules. You call them all kinds of names. They don't talk back to you. So you don't tell them anything. And I told them the same thing to them. It's a bunch of idiots, you know. So then I said, well, what am I going to do now? I went to one guy by the name Mr. Beach. He had an employment office somewhere in downtown LA on 2nd Street, I think, or Broadway. He said, I have a job for you. Did you watch it? I have a place they call Los Cuates Cafe. And it's in Hollywood. I said, okay. So I went over there to Hollywood, Sunset Boulevard, near Carson. And yes, there was a place named Los Cuates Cafe. Two Mexicans, they were cuates, they were twin brothers from Guadalajara, I understand. They're good-looking guys, but they were owners. One sold the other one out, and so one guy became the owner, but still the name stayed. Los Cuates Cafe. He was married to one of the ex-producer's wives in Hollywood. Anyway, he said, are you willing to work? Yeah, I am willing to work. What do you know about this? Nothing. I don't know nothing. But give me a chance. Listen, if you don't like the way I work, give me a whole week, you know. You don't have to pay me. Just give me something to eat and that's it. You don't have to pay me if you don't like it. I work 1 week without any pay. And at the end of the week, he said, Jose, you're hired. Be here next week, on Monday or whatever, you know. Okay. So the first week I earned, I think, $3.50. But it was better. I had nothing to worry about. I was living in my brother's house anyway. So from Sunset and Carson to go to Western and Jefferson, it's a long drive. It's a long, you know, if you miss your bus, then there's no more bus until next day. See, they had to be at least 11 o'clock to get the red car to go downtown to get the J car to go to Western and, you know, Adams and Western, or Jefferson. Twice or three times, I missed the darn red car. What did I do? I walk. And those three times, the police get me. The police get me. Say, what are you doing? I said, well, coming from work. Where do you work? My broken English. I work, and I gave them the card. So this is where I work. And I missed my bus. Said, come on, son. Give me a ride from Sunset and Western all the way down to almost to the house. They gave me a ride. The police gave me a ride. Is it okay? And the three times they gave me a ride. Yeah. So I'm very grateful to the police. They never harassed me. They never did me any harm or insulted me or anything. Yeah. And I couldn't be any more than any other Mexican because I couldn't speak English at that time. So I was very, very lucky in that respect. And I worked with these people until 1949, I think, or 50, or 51, somewhere, well, no, 49, because when I left, and there was some kind of a bad part on this, to the restaurant, something happened that his brother, one of the twins, who had some kind of a group from Mexico, movie stars or whatever, they came to the Million Dollar Theater and performed, and they were known to these people, to these twins. So the guy told, hey, since it's already late, let's go eat to my brother's. And my brother said, sure. Well, there were a lot of people eating. Well, when they were getting ready to leave, the guy didn't know how to ask him. He said, well, how are you going to pay, you know? So the guy, one big, huge Mexican, he must have been 7 feet high. He said, what do you mean pay? You invited us, didn't you? Well, I invite you here because you're the only place open right now, you know, but not because you're going to get something for free. The twins that went to small leader were the six-footers, you know, but this guy was a little foot bigger than this. So somehow they cussed each other for that, and the twin was already half drunk. Somehow he had his hands in his pocket, and the guy hit him right like this in his forehead, and the guy dropped flat on his back and cracked his skull. Ooh. And from that day on, the guy was in the hospital almost a year, unconscious. And that cost his brother every day, you know, the hospital. Even though before that happened, this restaurant was making so good that the restaurant across them, they had a ad on the outside. I said, all you can eat for dollar something, all you can eat. And they still didn't sell enough. The Quartet Cafe, they start at 4. They start open at 4 o'clock in the evening. And they had a line already but two blocks long. And there was nothing but work until 11 o'clock. Wow. That's why I was late a couple of times, yeah, two or three times. You can say, it was nothing but work. And what did they serve? Tacos, enchiladas, very, very small item, like steak or steak picado, you know, yeah, kind of steak picado, but enchiladas, tacos, and tamales. Mm-hmm. That was the main dish. And they did a lot of business, and that a dinner would cost them almost $5. That included salad and a little glass of wine and all that, $4. Almost $4 or $5. They were making very good money. The other guys at the other restaurant, they hardly had anybody. But all this time that they made all this money, I would work on the dining room. I would mop, and then wax it by knee, so that the tables, the floor was spotless, the everything was spotless, and then after that I would go and help the cook for the cooking. And then wash the dishes, yeah, the pots and all that. Yeah. So the people were very happy with me. I did most. In fact, at the end, almost at the end, they find out that I was missing my bots, they said, listen,